REITs really do democratize real estate ownership. Real estate is otherwise an illiquid asset class that requires an enormous amount of capital. And so it's not accessible to the retail investor. Yes, REITs are a majority owned by large institutions, but a lot of those institutions represent ultimately private individuals and retail investors and the consumer. And making real estate accessible to them is very important.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borgson-Quito. Today's interview marks the 400th episode of the podcast. And to mark the occasion, I'm pleased to be speaking with Matt Kelly, CEO of JBG Smith and NAREIT's 2024 chair. Matt, thanks so much for marking this NAREIT milestone with us today.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Matt, we've spoken before about placemaking and how it's a hallmark of the JBG Smith approach to development. How does it guide what you create and what impact has it had?
Placemaking is really all about capturing market share. So we don't control demand, obviously, but how much of that demand we're able to capture, whether it be office or multifamily, is all about how attractive our places are. We like to invest in a concentrated way in neighborhoods where we can achieve scale and can change the environment for the better so that we can capture more than our fair share of demand. So it's all about striking the right balance between public space, retail, workspaces, living spaces, and anchor amenities that draw people, balancing that against some of the basic neighborhood necessities like grocery, hardware stores, things of that nature that people rely on every day wherever they live and work. And so striking the right balance, the right merchandising mix of amenities so that in the end, for whatever level of demand we experience from year to year, we're able to capture more than our fair share of it. So that hopefully over time it drives higher rents, higher rent growth, and greater tenant retention.
And Matt, you publicly shared JBG Smith's views regarding the outcome of the Potomac Yard Arena project. In your words, that particular chapter is now closed, but are there aspects of how JBG Smith handled the whole process that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I'm especially proud of our team's role in putting the whole deal together. That deal never would have come about but for our team. It was organic. It was not a formal process. We sourced the opportunity through a direct discussion with the team ownership, and then we shepherded it to formal agreement. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to overcome partisan politics and some of the special interests involved, and that's a real missed opportunity for Virginia and for our site. But you have to move on and look at the good that comes of it, and I would describe the good as being two things in particular. One, it really showcased for the whole region the attractiveness and the viability of that important site that we own and control. And so we've had a lot of outreach from other users that are interested in coming in. So we'll see where that goes. And it also strengthened what was already a strong relationship, but it really did make it stronger, the relationship we have with local community groups, with the city of Alexandria in particular, and the management of the city. And I think it better aligned us around the desire to activate that land and to get it put into production sooner rather than later, and to work together to find ways to finance some of the infrastructure and some of the draw of amenities to the site.
Great. And I did want to ask you, it sounds like it's way too early to indicate what might come next at Potomac Yard or possible alternate uses for that site.
Too early, nothing concrete yet. But as you can imagine, there's been a lot of outreach. We're very heavily focused on entertainment uses and also updating our plans there for post-COVID world. The site was entitled for a mix of office and residential. We believe that will skew more heavily residential. It's not to say there won't be any office, but also really needs to start with driving the right amenity anchor to the site. In addition to Virginia Tech, having something with more of an entertainment angle to it, we think is important and would work well there.
Can you talk a little bit more about JBG Smith's ongoing commitment to National Landing and the Northern Virginia submarket and the recent deliveries that you've had and what's perhaps in the pipeline?
2023 was a huge year for us, and the next 24 months will be equally so. HQ2, Amazon's second headquarters, opened last June. They called people formally back to the office at that time and really ramped up office attendance throughout the second half of last year. And while they didn't add to their ranks of employment during the year, they are still at that level of hiring that corresponds to the trajectory they agreed to with the state of Virginia to get their incentives. So they were very much ahead of pace last year. As everybody knows, was a tough year for hiring in tech. Many companies shrank. Amazon kind of treaded water here locally, but we do expect them to continue to grow in the years ahead, and they remain a significant anchor. So opening HQ2 is really important. On Crystal Drive, our retail main street, we opened up what we call the Water Park. We opened up a restaurant called Surreal, which we used to call Dining in the Park 2. Very outdoor-focused restaurant, food and beverage-heavy retail uses that two-side Crystal Drive. We've gotten to a place now where by the end of this year, we will have almost tripled the amount of street retail in Crystal City, in the broader submarket. And that's really significant when you think about driving lease up of our new apartment buildings. We delivered the Grace and the Riva and started leasing those the beginning of this year. Those are 808 units of luxury rental apartments, 300 feet tall, two towers with important ground floor retail. The base, the new retail in those buildings will come online this year. That's part of that tripling of the amount of retail on the street. And the lease up in those buildings has so far been ahead of pace over and above any other project we delivered since 2017, since we were a public company. And that's a testament to the placemaking we've done in the neighborhood, but it's also a reflection of the relative supply shortage that we're starting to see in this market. And so we expect that to continue for some years to come because, as everybody knows, new starts have been dwindling. And then following on the heels of the Grace and the Riva, shortly will be the completion and lease up of 2000 South Bell and 2001 South Bell. And that's about another 750 apartment units. And so a huge year behind us and a huge couple of years ahead of us as these four residential towers come online and lease up, and as the remaining retail on Crystal Drive continues to deliver and open.
And through the Washington Housing Initiative Impact Pool, JBG Smith has played a critical role in the creation of workforce housing for the greater Washington region. And in fact, you recently surpassed your own goal to preserve 3,000 affordable housing units. Why is this important to you personally?
Yeah, the 3,000-unit goal was really significant. It was basically a vehicle that allowed us to creatively capitalize investment in housing preservation. And it really helps us deliver on what we think smart growth should be, which is basically not only new housing supply, but also not leaving behind people who otherwise would want to live in a neighborhood and are a necessary part of the fabric of any neighborhood, but just can't afford to. And so housing preservation is really important because it's far less expensive per unit than new housing construction. And we learned during the pandemic that most of our essential workers earn less, but should be able to live as close to where they work as everybody else. And this is a way to enable that so that you end up with neighborhoods that are not just for the rich, not just for the people who can afford the luxury apartments, but cater to income levels throughout the economic spectrum, and therefore allow the people that do the different jobs that every neighborhood needs, the retail workers, the transit workers, the construction workers, the people that are a necessary part of every ecosystem and community. And what we find is that a lot of our renters at the higher end of the spectrum also want that. They don't want to feel as though they live in gated community, ivory tower type locations. They want to feel like they are in a neighborhood that is mixed and that has some of everything.
Nareit's REIT Week Investor Conference, the largest REIT dedicated investor conference in the commercial real estate industry, is taking place June 4th to the 6th in New York City. You'll get a chance to hear individual company presentations directly from REIT management teams and opportunities to request one-on-one meetings with more than 100 REITs. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just dipping your toes into the world of REITs, REIT Week offers a unique platform to gain insights, make connections, and stay ahead of market trends. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with REIT executives from all 14 sectors and discover investment opportunities. Register today for Nareit's REIT Week Investor Conference by going to go.reit.com/REITweekRR to learn more. And the office sector in general continues to adjust to the new hybrid work environment. To what extent are those changes impacting JBG Smith's portfolio?
Yeah, first of all, we disposed of almost every office asset that we own outside of National Landing prior to and throughout the pandemic. And National Landing, we believe, is special because it lives at the intersection of defense and technology. And some of the global insecurity that we've seen on display over the last few years, particularly with respect to the Middle East, with respect to Russia and Ukraine, and tensions with China, really point to continued growth in the defense sector. like it or not, that's the reality of the world we live in. And National Landing benefits greatly from that demand tailwind. But National Landing is not immune to some of the pressures that have affected the office market nationally. And that really comes down to one simple fact, which is that we have too much office space and not enough demand to fill it. And so some of that office space will need to go away and be converted to other uses. And so we have a plan and have done some of this already, but to continue to shrink the denominator of office space in National Landing so that it remains healthy for the balance of demand that does exist, which has been strong, and to convert some of that shrinkage, some of the buildings that used to be office buildings, the oldest, most obsolete buildings, to convert those to multifamily and in some cases, hospitality uses. We likely won't own and control the hospitality because that's not a part of our business, but certainly the multifamily we would. And that's an opportunity to deliver more housing to the neighborhood over time, but also to get to a place where we have a healthy office market that is at equilibrium faster. And ultimately, I think that's where many submarkets and many cities in the country will go. We have a large degree of control of a single submarket, which allows us to do it a lot faster, to move tenants out of buildings that are intended to be converted into other buildings that we own and control without having to do the dance that competing landlords might have to do. That gets only more complicated when you introduce lenders into the mix. And so being on both sides of it allows us to go a lot faster, having development capabilities and the ability to execute some of that transition ourselves also allows us to go a lot faster. And that's what needs to happen to adjust to the new normal post-COVID.
Can you update us on the progress that JBG Smith is making with regard to its transition to a majority multifamily REIT? And what are you seeing in terms of operating fundamentals in that sector?
When the company was created in 2017, we were about 80% office. And today, if you include our assets that are in lease up and under construction, we're over 50% multifamily. And so less than half office. And the office is concentrated really around the Pentagon, that defense technology sector that I mentioned earlier. And so that's where we said we wanted to go. And just about there. Does that mean we will stop? Probably not, because I expect our growth going forward will be disproportionately multifamily versus office. Doesn't mean we won't pursue office opportunities ever again. We do have a couple of land sites that are great for build-to-suit, headquarters relocation type office uses. So there may be some of that, but most of our growth will be in multifamily. And when you look at fundamentals in this market, on a relative basis, they've been pretty strong. On an absolute basis, they've been what I would describe as okay, with rental rate growth market-wide, plus or minus 3%. That's better than what we see, which is negative nationally and negative in a lot of the what were some of the hotter Sunbelt markets over the last handful of years. That's a function of oversupply. We just don't have that oversupply in the Washington metro area. And so what we see is a healthier market that's closer to equilibrium, where we've been able to maintain some level of rent growth, where many other markets nationally are struggling with that. The forecast for the next couple of years looks even brighter because the supply pipeline is about as low as it's been since the financial crisis. And so we expect that we're going to see continued rent growth opportunities in the face of that supply shortage. Based on where interest rates are, based on where construction costs are, it's unlikely that the pipeline is going to pick up anytime soon. So we think that's easily a couple year condition of favorability as it relates to supply and demand from the landlord's perspective.
And what are some of the most important aspects of tech innovation for JBG Smith? And where do you see potential for new applications in the portfolio?
We do a lot of things tech related when it comes to sustainability, as we were the leader in the light for our sector last year, which we're very proud of. We use a lot of different real-time building monitoring systems that optimize energy efficiency. We have active indoor air quality monitoring, measuring all kinds of particulates and carbon monoxide and other things that are part of ongoing testing and reporting. We've been piloting something recently that's a fluid applied. It's a clear film applied to windows. It's called NanoTint, and it dries clear, but it reduces solar heat gain. So something, again, as the customer has wanted more air and light, we've been able to deliver it with bigger and bigger windows. But as we all know, that's one of the most inefficient types of skin on a building as it relates to heat retention. And so this is a way to address some of that. And then we're also looking at some of the carbon capture technology, which we've seen have promising results in newer projects. And so always piloting and testing things like that that can help move the needle from a sustainability standpoint. And we've talked a lot about, from a technology perspective, how we've integrated 5G connectivity and fiber, leased or owned fiber, in and around our submarkets to provide private cellular networking to our commercial tenants. That's been a huge draw. It's allowed us to attract tenants that otherwise wouldn't necessarily have prioritized our submarket. These are tenants that don't necessarily line up with that defense sector orientation, but we're seeking something that they could showcase to their customers by using our high throughput bandwidth and wireless connectivity. And so by owning some of the 5G spectrum, we've been able to deliver that faster and more reliably through carrier partners that we have to some of our customers that has actually tipped the scales in our favor when they're making space location decisions.
Matt, and as I mentioned, you're near its 2024 chair. What do you see as some of the key issues for the REIT industry this year?
Well, as you know, everything is so political these days. And I think one of the things that Nareit does a great job of doing, but needs to continue to do, it's a constant effort, is to make it clear how REITs really do democratize real estate ownership. Real estate is otherwise an illiquid asset class that requires an enormous amount of capital. And so it's not accessible to the retail investor. Yes, REITs are a majority owned by large institutions, but a lot of those institutions represent ultimately private individuals and retail investors and the consumer. And making real estate accessible to them is very important. Are also on the forefront of environmental sustainability trends. And that's very important. That's going to be very important in fighting climate change. And then, of course, we're in an uncertain environment as it relates to presidential election politics. And Nareit has to always be aware of and understanding all of the political issues at play on Capitol Hill. And the team there, I know, does a terrific job doing that. Certainly as it relates to housing, the business that makes up a majority of what we do, we have a national structural housing shortage of about 4 million housing units that by the end of the decade, some studies suggest it's going to become as big as 10 million housing units. So clearly we need to do more to incentivize housing production. And REITs, again, can be at the forefront of educating lawmakers and policymakers and people who make the decisions on the ground about stimulating housing supply. And that's going to be a very important ingredient in how we tackle the housing shortage that we have in the country. And I think Nareit can play a really important role in that dialogue.
Matt, the past few years have been especially busy ones for JBG Smith. How do you manage to step away from it all? Are there activities that you enjoy that help you disconnect, even if just for a short time?
I don't have a lot of free time. Most of the free time I do have, I spend with my family. I have four young kids. And as anybody with kids knows, if you want to be an involved parent, that pretty much takes up all of your free time. And so that's what I spend a lot of it doing, a lot of coaching and driving young people all over the place, dragging them to our latest investment or development, making them look at it for a 100th time. I am also involved in a couple of nonprofit boards. I'm currently the chair of the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, which is a beloved local institution here in Washington. But I love the time that I get to spend with the scientists and the team there that share our nation's collection of natural history objects and the millions of visitors that come for free to the DC metro area every year. That's an important side gig of mine. And then, of course, whenever we travel anywhere, I'm always dragging my family around looking at latest real estate projects and developments in other places, which I think I find more interesting than any of the rest of my family members, but that's probably the way it's supposed to be.
You never know what new perspectives they might come up with that you haven't thought of.
That's right. That's right.
So Matt, we've covered lots of ground. Anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I just think the last 4 years have been pretty challenging with pandemic and inflationary pressures and interest rates, global conflict, and now a presidential election that who knows what will happen. I think the next few years are going to be pretty exciting in our industry. We finally, I think, can shake off the lingering effects of the pandemic and enter into some kind of a new normal phase as it relates to interest rates and growth, and hopefully get to the end of the year without too much drama in the political sphere. I'm optimistic that we will, and maybe it's front of mind because I'm in Washington. It's a quote that is attributed to Winston Churchill, although I don't think he said it, but people think he said that Americans always do the right thing only after exhausting all the alternatives. So I hope that where we land at the end of the year is the right thing for the country, whatever that is, and that we get there without too much drama.
Well said. Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, if you want to make sure that you hear the next 400 episodes of the REIT Report, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.